This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Bored of too many ads and dull, meaningless chat? We've got neither. Joy Drive, smart, fun radio.
The soaring popularity of the Australian women's soccer team after their semi-final run. This year's FIFA Women's World Cup 2023 has seen experts at the Australian National University pick Matilda as their word of the year. And Mark Gwynn is a senior researcher at the ANU Dictionary Centre. Mark, welcome back to Joy Drive.
Good afternoon.
Mark, tell us about the word of the year. How did that come about?
Well, we try to choose a word each year that has a bit of an Australian flavour, because our main research and our main dictionary here, the Australian National Dictionary, is all about Australian English. So we try and choose something that's kind of caught the imagination or was popular through the year. And Matilda sort of fell in our laps this year. I must admit, this year was looking a bit dire in terms of words of the year. And so Matilda was a good one, mainly because of obviously the success of the women's soccer team, but also the word itself, Matilda, has a very long history in Australian English. So it sort of made sense to choose Matilda this year.
How do you find out what the words, what word is a contender for word of the year? Like I imagine there's different conversations going on in different parts of the country. How do you get your hands on them?
Well, we look at what's sort of entered the imagination, really. I mean, what word has sort of popped out? Sometimes we come across a word that we weren't familiar with. I mean, last year we chose teal. Everyone will remember in the election period, the teal candidate.
Yes.
Teal was everywhere, and suddenly it wasn't just the colour, but it was a word used for these independent, mainly women. So that one kind of... We were all aware of it, and Australian as well, which made it much easier for us. So we're looking for that kind of thing. And so other dictionaries and other places around the world might choose a word of the year based on how many lookups they get in the dictionary, for instance, ruling out the obvious ones. I mean, people looking up how to spell something. So there's different ways of choosing it. But we go for a qualitative sort of choice, something that sort of resonates, and also something to highlight a word as well. And I mean, Matilda's great because it goes right back to the old waltzing Matilda, the swag, the swag that the itinerant men used to carry around with them when they were looking for work back in the 19th and early 20th century. So it's got a fabulous history.
We're chatting with Mark Gwynn, senior researcher at the Australian National Dictionary Centre at ANU, about the Australian Word of the Year. Mark, what were some of the other contenders? You mentioned that there weren't that many, but what were some of them?
Well, we have a short list, and we thought the referendum this year may have provided some terms, but it was really a little bit flat in terms of terms. But we did add Noah and Yesa for a no voter or a yes voter or a no potential voter or a yes potential voter. A little bit boring, but we thought we'd have a nod to that. But truth-telling as well, which is acknowledging, the problems and the various historical maltreatment of Indigenous people in this country. Truth-telling really spiked this year, and that does have an Australian nuance to it in terms of recognising past wrongs through the colonial period, not just talking about the truth, but also acknowledging past wrongs. And that's something that I think is an ongoing word that we'll see a lot more of. The other word we chose was hallucinate, which... People might go, what? But this is about artificial intelligence, and that's when artificial intelligence gives you the wrong or false information.
Is it called hallucinate?
Well, it's quite hard to tell really where it came from. It was tech speak, really. It was tech guys and girls using these terms. And it's something to do with the processes when the artificial intelligence, the computer algorithms sort of go into this mode and they don't give you what you want. And I suppose in a sense it's hard to tell. And I mean, this is our problem now. I mean, we're almost anthropomorphizing these computers, making them human-like, because humans hallucinate but do does technology do to computers? Because they don't. Mm. It's all numbers and electricity and whatnot. So, but the point why we chose Hallucinate, because we've all heard a lot about AI this year and last year, ChatGPT and those kinds of programs, is that these words are probably going to enter our vocabulary a lot more in the years to come when artificial intelligence really does become like the internet becomes an essential part of the way that we work and engage with each other.
Mark, what's happening to our vocabulary as technology is increasing? Is it getting less, smaller?
No, I mean, it's interesting. I mean, we always get these waves of new words that come in, and often they do come from technical areas. I mean, areas that we don't normally know about so much. So when there's you think about the COVID period or when there's a war, these times when there's lots of, it's a different to the normal pattern of human life, suddenly we're exposed to these technical terms. So we all become quite familiar with all those medical jargon terms to do with I can't even think of the word now, but the various words associated with the pandemic.
That's right.
And the same with artificial intelligence. There'll be words that we probably wish we didn't know. And Hallucinate might be one of them. And there's a few terms to do artificial intelligence, like words like P-Doom, meaning the probability that artificial intelligence will go rogue. P-Doom.
Well, I'll be hallucinating then.
That's right. And these are words you probably don't want to know, but they're starting to enter the mainstream.
It's a bit of a double-edged sword, isn't it? If you think about the medical and scientific terms that we all learned during the COVID pandemic. I mean, in some ways it can make someone sound like they're an authority in that field because they can say these big words, but they're not necessarily so.
Yeah, that's right. I'm sure we all got quite familiar with some of the medical terminology and the various vaccine-related terms through the COVID period, but most of us had no idea about how diseases work and how epidemiology is the word I was after before, the science behind that and it probably goes over most of our head, but we all become experts, don't we, quite quickly, like we all became experts at the rules of soccer.
That's right.
Only just recently.
Well, I love the selection of Matildas as the word of the year. Just, Mark, the Australian National Dictionary Centre, what does that do? And in light of our conversation about AI and technology, does anyone still have a paper dictionary?
Yes, we do, actually. I mean, I'm actually just about to start editing an Oxford Pocket Dictionary. These are still sold into the school system. So they're still used in some educational workplaces. And they're kind of an upper market kind of people want a nice large desk dictionary but really the days of the print dictionary are almost over, sadly, because they are beautiful publications. When they're particularly our historical dictionary that tells you the whole story and have quotations, hundreds of thousands of quotations from books and novels and the news and songs to illustrate Australian English. And but that'll be online soon, that dictionary, our Australian National Dictionary. And what we lose, we gain in the amount of people that have access to it who don't necessarily have the money to look at these expensive publications.
I love the idea of having a dictionary on the coffee table being upmarket. You watch the sales go up, Mark.
Well, we wish.
I love it. Congratulations on choosing Matildas. I think it's a great choice. And thanks again for joining us on Drive.
Thanks, mate.
Thank you so much. That is Mark Gwynn, Senior Researcher at the Australian National Dictionary Centre at the Australian National University.
Joy Drive on Joy 94.9 FM in Melbourne. Joy on your digital radio, iHeartRadio, TuneIn.com or the Joy app. No matter where you are.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.